Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. I know this is odd for me being on in the afternoon, but this is what my guest needed as far as a time to be on. So his name is Jerry Petrella. Hopefully I pronounced it right, and hopefully he'll answer soon.
Oh. Hello?
Hello, Jerry. Can you hear
me,
Jerry?
That's me. I can hear you.
This is Mac, and we're on the air. And how are you feeling?
Cool. I'm feeling very well. How are you doing? Are you feeling any better than the last time we talked?
Well, it's one of those things. I've been better and I've been worse. So all in all, it's not that bad. So, you know,
well,
what are you going to do?
I know what you mean.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you do. So might as well just jump right into it. Now, I know that you're an actor, and we'll get into that in a minute, but I also know that you sing and that you're a violinist. Now, do you do either of those in public venues? I mean, I know with COVID it may not happen very often, but do you do either of those professionally or even just for fun?
As of right now, I really do them just for fun. Whenever I was a kid, I played violin in different youth orchestras and a couple of fiddling contests, but I haven't really played violin in a few years now. And I like to sing and sing. I like to sing. I practice that a lot, but I haven't really found any opportunities to like record demos or, you know, sing in bands or anything like that. So I'm more of an actor than anything else.
So you enjoy doing it, but it's probably like more of a hobby where you think of acting as like maybe something that you'd want to do for a living.
Yes, I would love. Make acting a full-time professional career. Unfortunately, I haven't really, you know, found the necessary connections for it yet, and I'm not, you know, I'm not saying this to offend any of the filmmakers that I previously worked with, but, you know, is there anything else that you wanted to know?
I just thought you were going to say something else because it sounded like you were in mid thought or something. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that. Performing for me is not exactly a hobby. It's an ambition, and this is the way I see it. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of people would agree that a hobby is something to do to pass the time, and an ambition is something for which a person makes time.
Right. So when did you first get the acting bug, and then when did you decide to do something about it?
I actually showed off a talent for it all the way back when I was a toddler, and it took other people to help me realize how much of an ambition I had for it. My parents didn't really push me as much as some other people in my life did, and it wasn't until I was 13 that I finally decided to say to myself, this is something that's a true calling for me. This is the type of career I want, and then I went along with it.
So did you, like, make home movies? Is that how you got started?
Actually, no. I started out in theatrical productions in school. I performed in a lot of plays in high school and college, and then I did some regional theater here and there after I got out of school, and then I gradually worked my way into film acting, and I've been doing that ever since.
Oh, cool. Now, which do you prefer, if you have a preference? Some don't. Do you prefer doing theater or do you prefer film?
I can go 50-50.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have that same thing. So,
I'd love to do theater again.
Well, yeah, as somebody who's done theater, I see the appeal to it because I loved it when I was doing theater. So I totally understand the appeal of theater. As far as movies,
theater,
I don't have that much experience. I'm sorry. Go ahead. It's your show.
What I was just going to say, that theater and film have totally different disciplines. When you're in a theater, you have to, you know, keep rehearsing and rehearsing until you get the act perfect. And you have to make sure that the act is perfect whenever you're performing for them. But with film, I mean, if you make a mistake, they can just do another take, and they can do as many takes as possible to get, you know, to get that perfect take in. Are you following this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Because I have family in the business, a couple of famous family members, a couple not so famous, but I've been around it all my life, so I understand totally where you're coming from with just about everything you say. And with independent filmmaking, I understand that a lot too, because that's a whole different ball game, because you got to worry about so many different things that you don't have to worry about when you're working for a bigger production. So believe
True.
Me, I understand a lot of what you're going to be saying. Now, on IMDb, you may have more than this. I don't know. I'm just going by what I saw on IMDb. You have 48 acting credits, which is actually quite impressive.
Oh,
so the first one on there, and again, I'm just pointing it out for the audience that you may have done stuff before this, but the first one on IMDb is for something in 2008 called Roomies. So tell us about that one.
Okay. I saw a casting call for that in the Pittsburgh City paper. Now, mind you, I didn't join Facebook until December of 2009. So I found out about this opportunity through the online version of the city paper. And anyway, I responded to it. I scheduled an audition, and I told them I was interested in anything that was available. And so sometime later, they cast me as a store clerk who chases down somebody who tries to shoplift. And this role was not a speaking role. It was just a non-speaking cameo appearance. And all I had to do was just, like I said before, just, you know, run to see if I can catch the shoplifter. It was just a very, very small part. And I actually had no idea that it was going to end up being on IMDb.
Well, it's cool that it is. And those small roles, and I know it sounds cliche, but like so many actors have said, there are no small roles, which there really isn't. I mean, because you can have a small role and it can turn into something big. And sometimes the smallest roles in movies are the roles that people remember. Jack Nicholson, when he was in Little Shop of Horrors, he had a teeny-weeny-weeny little part. And, you know, he became famous. That's not to say everybody's going to become famous that gets a small part, but it just shows that it's possible.
It is possible, but the thing is, the best thing to do is to not really expect anything out of it. I mean, if it will lead to something bigger, it will. And if it doesn't lead to anything bigger, then the best thing to do is to move on to the next project and see how that will turn out.
Yeah, and as long as you're a working actor, which I would consider you a working actor with 48 acting credits, as long as you're a working actor, that's something to be proud of. You don't have to be.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah. Because here's something interesting that a lot of people don't know about Humphrey Bogart. And, again, I don't mean to take up part of your show, but obviously he's a really famous actor. But his thinking was, in acting, is that he wasn't too good for anything. He would basically take whatever was offered to him because, like he had said multiple times during his career and his lifetime, that it was his job. So you don't turn down jobs. And
exactly.
He became, Yeah, and he just happened to become famous, but that wasn't his thinking. He wasn't thinking about being famous. He was thinking about doing his job. So there you go.
Right, obtaining as much work as possible.
Right, and if you can put yourself into the same category as Humphrey Bogart, you're doing good. Okay.
Totally
let's
agree.
Move on. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to. I'm not going to go over all 48 because we don't have time for it. But
exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm going to skip to something called Extinction Event, which was, I'm pretty sure, I may be, you know, not right about it, but a sequel to A Chemical Skyline. And one of the reasons why I picked the Extinction Event is because I like zombie movies. So tell us about that one.
I honestly don't really have much of a recollection about that. I think I was probably just an extra for that one, and I got credit for it. I honestly don't really remember anything about that one.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you know, it happens to plenty of people. I've had some people on the show that I would ask them about a certain movie, one that I remembered seeing them in and thought that they did a really good job in it, and they, I don't remember that movie. Well, if you don't remember it, you don't remember it. So we'll move on to the next one.
Thank you.
In 2014, oh, I'm sorry, were you going to say something else?
No, that's okay. You continue.
Okay. Well, there's like Blog Talk Radio has problems with sound, and so sometimes there's like an overlap or a break in the sound, and sometimes I interrupt people accidentally, or I think I'm interrupting them. So anyway, in 2014, you did, and I just love the title of this film, Pro Wrestlers
okay.
versus Zombies.
Okay, that was made by a filmmaker named Cody Knotts. I was just an extra for that one too. I did get credit for it.
Well, that's good. So were you a zombie?
No, I had to dress up in a business suit and just look like I was a business type person.
Okay.
Well, that's my recollection of it.
Oh, okay.
I don't really keep track of all the specifics about what happened on set. I just try to get as much work as possible and see if anybody else will take notice. That's pretty much all I do.
Oh yeah, and I totally understand that. And like I say, I think nothing of it when somebody says, "Oh, I don't remember that film," because there are famous people that don't remember movies that they did, and not that they're any better than you. They're not, but it's just something that happens to everybody. There's going to be something that you don't remember doing. So I don't care, and neither do the people listening. They don't care if you forget a film. Now, the next two, I'm going to, like, lump them together, but you can, say as much as you want or as little as you much, as much as you want or as little as you want about them. But the reason why I'm putting them together is because they're from the same director, Matthew Dyless. And
he's awesome.
Yeah, the one is, I know him, and he's been on the show. You did Angel Hair and Human 001. Both of those were in 2017. So tell us about those
okay.
two and how you got to work with Matthew Dyless, and were both of these your first? And, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I met Matt Dyless through Facebook sometime in 2015, and then he said that he came across some of the acting work that I had done previously. I think he probably caught a couple of clips on YouTube, which is where most of my work can be seen. And so sometime I believe it was in 2016. He contacted me and said that he had this role for me for a short film, and it was called Angel Hair. It it's a horror. I don't want to spoil the plot, so, but it is available on YouTube, so you can check it out for yourself. Anyway, we started filming Angel Hair. I don't remember how long it took for us to actually to make the entire film, but it got finished. It got sent to the Pittsburgh Uncut Film Festival in 2018, and I ended up winning an award for that at that particular festival. So I'm very happy to tell you about that. And what was the second film that you were asking about? There was Angel Hair, and what else? Human 001. Okay, that was a short film for the Pittsburgh 48-Hour Film Project. And it was, I believe it was supposed to be in, like, the sci-fi genre. Are you familiar with how the 48-Hour Film Project works?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. So we got this, you know, genre. I believe it was sci-fi, and Matt contacted me and said, you know, I think that you'd be perfect for this particular type of character. And I said, sure, I'm available. You can count me in. And so we did that. And for this particular film, I had to play some weird robot that looks like a human. And I tell this young man who has no idea, you know, what happened to the world and why people are acting so you know, strange and crazy. And I play a robot and I tell him, you know, all of the strange things that have happened. And then all of a sudden, toward the very end, I start to get emotional, and you know, I wipe away a tear from my eye and think to myself, oh, how did this happen? I don't know how this came about, you know, because robots are not supposed to be emotional.
Right.
And I don't, let me think, it may have won some, that film may have won some awards, but I don't really remember completely. You'll have to ask Matt or Jason Boyer that question, but it did do pretty good at the festival when it was first released.
Yeah, I may be wrong, but I think it won awards, but right at this moment, I'm not sure what awards it won. But I know it was very, very popular, and I was one of the people that really liked it, and that was actually the first thing that I saw you in was the Human 001, and now it's a short, that's for the audience to know, it's a short. You did such a good job. I was thinking to myself, hey, I hope this guy does some other stuff because I want to see him and stuff. I didn't even know what your name was at that point. But then, I started investigating, and then, of course, I found out who you were and saw some of your other stuff. And, you know, so that's how I became a fan.
Thank you. It's nice to know that I'm starting to have some fans. It's really appreciated. I really appreciate that.
Well, you know, actors, no matter what the, you know, independent or whatever, they always have more fans than what they think. And I know that you're one of those because I've had people say to me, hey, do you know this... Sorry to say it this way, but do you know this bald-headed guy? And then they'll name a movie, and I'm like, well, I don't know him, but, yeah, I've seen him in stuff. He is really good. Yeah, he is good. I like him. I want to see him in more stuff. So there you go. People do talk about you even though you don't know about it.
And that's something I'll always be grateful for. And listen, you don't have to worry about, you know, describing me as being bald, because I actually describe myself as being bald, and I'm proud of it.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with bald. A lot of men, and, you know, sometimes women too, because I'm not going to be sexist, but men are the one where it's more acceptable to society for them if they're bald than women. So that's why I said it specifically that way. But there are a lot of men that they look better bald than they do with hair, Telly Savalas was one of those. If you ever saw him
yes.
there, yeah, he was
Don't remember. I don't remember ever seeing him with hair, but I do know that he did have a reputation for being bald.
Yeah, and Yul Brynner.
I remember him too.
Yeah, he looked funny with hair. And now, one that I wanted to mention, because at first, when you saw him, he had hair. Avery Brooks, I don't know if you know who he is, but he was the captain in Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
Well, he started out as commander, but then he got promoted to captain. But he was like the lead of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And when the show first started, he had hair. I mean, and he's a nice-looking guy. He's a really nice-looking guy. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's a nice-looking guy. And then, like, something like the fourth season, I think, he went bald. And when he came out bald,
okay.
I was like, whoa, that guy is hot. Because he looked much better as a bald guy. And there's a lot of bald guys that are like that. Like, you see them with hair and you think, well, I mean, they're still nice looking, but they look a little funny. But, you know. So that's just an interesting thing about bald men. Lots of
women. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, you know, baldness has always been a dominant gene in my family. And whenever I was 20 and 22, I started using Rogaine regularly to try to fight it. And then after about 10 years, I realized that it wasn't really working out. You know, it wasn't helping me, you know, keep my hair. So I figured I'd just give into it and say, I'm keeping my head shaved for the rest of my life. You know, might as well give into it.
Well, and it actually gives you a more distinctive look, I mean, in my opinion. Like Michael Berryman, if you know who Michael Berryman is?
The name sounds familiar.
Let's see. Oh, right now I can't think of anything he's done. Oh, and he's real famous for doing that one. The Hills Have Eyes. Do you remember that film?
It sounds familiar. I don't remember actually seeing it.
Yeah, well, he's been in, like, so many things that it would be hard for me to, like, pick one that you might know about. He's really more famous for being in horror movies. And the reason why I mentioned The Hills Have Eyes is because that's kind of the thing. It wasn't his first thing that he did, but it was something that really got him out there. And it was that distinctive look of his, which includes being bald, that drew people to him and actually got him a lot of his notoriety, because people would say, hey, yeah, that bald guy from The Hills Have Eyes, and then they'd want to hire him and get him for movies and stuff. So if you get a chance, maybe look him up, and you might remember him just from seeing his picture, because he's like, you can't forget him. Once you see him, you can't forget him.
That's
and
good.
I didn't
cool.
mean to go off on somebody else on your show. So
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, I try to make the show, like, not dry and, like, a little more fun for people. And
it's all right.
I've had people say on the show even that they were having fun, and I mean, I try. And one person that I had on, they were actually impressed. And I'm not saying this to, like, you know, toot my own horn. I just thought it was a nice thing for them to say. That they said that they felt more relaxed with me than in any other interview that they had done, and they appreciated that I didn't cut them off after 3 minutes, because they had done so many interviews, because they're a pretty big name, and they had done so many interviews that they were kind of limited to 3 minutes by these bigger name people that would do interviews. And like, okay, 3 minutes,
okay.
And poof, you have to answer something within 3 minutes. And I'm like, no, I don't do that. If somebody wants to go off for, you know, 15 minutes on something, I don't care. Go ahead. If that's what you want to talk about. I mean, that, to me, that's the point of having you on the show, to get people to know you, what kind of a person you are, what kind of an actor you are, what you think about, which you've already touched on a lot of that, what you think about different things. And, you know, that's the whole point, in my opinion, of even having you on the show. So why would I want to cut you short with 3 minutes?
I got you.
No. So in 2019, because I don't want to go off on a tangent for too much, because we're actually, believe it or not, down to 34 minutes. That's how fast the time
goes. That's okay.
In 2019, you did a film with somebody that I know. Well, I know her through Facebook, director Madeline Deering. You did Spirit Animal. So tell us
about that. Oh, yes. Okay. That was a small supporting role. I played the lead character's psychiatrist.
Ooh.
I don't want to spoil too much about the film, but what happens is there's this young woman, and she is she's experiencing, you know, very, very bad memories of something horrific that had happened to her in the past, happened to her. What happened was, I think there's something weird that was going on, where she was living, and it killed many of her family and friends, and so she's in therapy, you know, talking through it and trying to, you know, get over this horrific incident that's been haunting her for who knows how long. So I played the girl's psychiatrist.
Cool. Nice. Did you enjoy doing that one? Because I heard, and I'm sad that I haven't seen it yet, but I know I'll get to it eventually. I've heard from people that it was a nice production to work on.
Yeah. I didn't find anything wrong with it. It was, you know, nice. It was enjoyable. And you know, I didn't have any objections. I was only needed for one day anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a very important role, though, because somebody's psychiatrist is always an important role, even if you're only there for a couple of minutes on the screen. Because I, of course, understand that just because you're only on screen for a couple of minutes doesn't mean that that's all the work that you did. Some people don't understand that. They think if somebody's in the movie for 15 minutes, that's all the work they did was 15 minutes. Yeah, don't work like
right.
that.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you know, you could be in a whole bunch of projects, and in one thing you got 15 minutes of screen time. Another would be half an hour. Another would maybe be an hour. I mean, it varies.
Right. Exactly. So, while we're talking, have you ever thought about, or you may have done it and it's just not IMDb, have you ever thought of doing stuff other than acting, like, you know, directing, writing, producing, you know, any of that stuff? Have you ever thought about it?
Yes. Yes, very much so. I co-wrote two feature screenplays so far, and I will write down some ideas for any plot outlines for movies or TV series I'd like to do. And this is something I do in my spare time. If I get an idea, I'll write it down and put it away, and then when I think about it later, then I'll try to expand on those particular ideas. And like I said before, I always would like to, you know, dabble in writing, but I got to be honest with you, I don't have the patience to write an entire script. So I like to try to collaborate with other writers who are more experienced to let them know what kind of ideas I have and see if they can, you know, help expand it to make it better. That is, if I'm stuck on anything. And as for singing, I've always wanted to be a soundtrack singer. And if anybody ever gave me an offer to, you know, record some albums and singles for like an independent record label, I'd gladly accept. But a major label like Columbia or Arista, probably not. I mean, I think I have a voice that's suitable like for the independent music markets, but anything major, I'm probably not. I don't think I'm trained enough for that.
Yeah, I can understand the feeling. It may or may not be true. I couldn't speak to that because I'm not a professional in the industry, so I can't say whether you are or whether you aren't. But I understand that feeling that you feel like you're not ready for it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you can dabble in singing for like what you just said, even if you're just going to weddings and stuff like that, you're still getting experience because you're singing professionally. So that's the way I think about it anyway. Excuse me. I had to clear my throat. Okay. We'll move on now to something that, according to IMDb anyway, it has been completed. A jury of his peers. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I was supposed to play a small role in that, but they never got back to me. So some of the movies that are on the IMDb, you know, some of them, you know, are still in production, and some haven't even been made yet.
Right. Oh yeah. Believe me, I understand that. So since that's the case, we'll just move on to something else. What about Jack and the Treehouse? Because that may be the same thing, because that's in post-production.
Oh yeah, it's definitely in post-production. It's making the film festival circuits right now. I actually was cast in that film without even auditioning for it. What happened was that I got an email from the director, and he said that I was recommended to him by a mutual filmmaking acquaintance of ours, and he said that I would be perfect for this particular type of role. And so I said, yeah, sure, you can count me in. Just let me know when you'll be ready to film my scene, and then we just went from there. I was needed for I believe 2 or 3 days. It was definitely more than one day, and I had to play some creepy looking dude who is hired by a man to help get that man's son out of a treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil everything about the film, but the film is about this boy who doesn't like a particular plan that his parents have, so he takes hostage in a treehouse, and he refuses to come down until they agree with him not to follow along with their plan.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, I don't mean to be vague, but I don't want to spoil anything.
Oh no, the listeners understand that. I understand it, and anybody who's ever seen a movie understands that. Most people don't want spoilers, because one of the biggest things I hate is in these when they have actual advertisements for movies, and then one of the scenes that they show is the end of the movie. Like, why do that? I've never gotten that. Why would you show a scene from the end of the movie? Excuse me. Well, I'm going to move on to a movie that was done, or is being done, rather, by Todd Wolfson, who I've had on the show. And
I actually listened to his interview. I actually listened to his interview, so.
Well, thank you for listening. So that, of course, is called Batshit. And so I want to hear you go batshit for batshit. So let's
sure, absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Now, I don't know exactly what happened at the beginning, but Todd told me that there is a particular type of role that he wanted me to play. He said that the story was batshit. I said yes, absolutely. And then when I discovered later on that it was going to be a lead role, I was completely ecstatic because I don't really get many chances to do leads, especially in features. The role I played in Batchet is my first lead role in a feature. But
oh, cool.
Yeah, but I don't want to spoil too much about this film, but it's about a man who realizes slowly that the pharmaceutical prescription drugs that he takes are slowly causing him to have a mental breakdown. And there's a whole bunch of weird things happen, like he's seeing and hearing things, and you never know if they're real or if they're just part of his imagination, and he goes in and out of different dream sequences. So, you know, it might be hard to follow when you first watch it, but I guarantee you, you're going to have a blast watching it. You're going to love this. And it's one of the most highly anticipated films in the Pittsburgh independent film scene since I don't know how long. And it's definitely the most ambitious independent film project ever.
Cool. Yeah, because when Todd was talking about it on his show, I thought, wow, I got to see this thing because it sounds like...
You got to, yeah.
Well, I like those kind of movies to begin with. And even if something's hard to follow, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to be good, because there are lots of movies that are, you really got to pay attention. And to me, that's what makes it a good movie. If it makes you want to pay attention so that you'll know what's going on eventually. And not to mention Humphrey Bogart again, but some of his movies are like that. That when you first start watching them, you're like, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but then once you like get halfway through or get close to the end, then you realize what's going on and you're like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Yeah,
you just
made me think. Yeah, the description that you gave, you know, made me think of the that movie Sybil, which starred Sally Field and Joanne Woodward.
Right.
You probably don't understand what's going on whenever it begins, but as you watch it, you start to slowly realize, you know what the major points of everything are. And
right,
that's kind of like the way Batshit is. You just got to watch very, very carefully.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And I don't know the complete story about how Batshit came about, but it started out as a short script, and then it wasn't that long before it expanded into a feature length. And when the casting process was coming on, I'm not sure. I can't say everybody in the Pittsburgh independent film scene, but most people in the independent film scene in Pittsburgh, you know, wanted very much to be part of this movie. And I like to compare Batshit with the comedy classic It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. Did you ever see that one?
Oh yeah, I've seen it several times. Yes,
I love that movie. Well, when that movie was in pre-production, everybody in Hollywood who found out about it contacted the producer and the casting directors and said to them, I want to be in this movie. I don't care what kind of role it is. I don't care how much dialogue I have. I don't even care if I don't even speak in this movie. I want to be in this. And
yeah,
that's sort of what happened whenever Batshit was being cast. I mean, not everybody in the Pittsburgh indie film scene is in Batshit, but most of them are. And everybody was really anxious for that. And most of them all wanted to be a part of it.
Well, it's understandable. It sounds like a worthwhile production, an interesting production. It's going to end up being something that people want to see, and you never know. This may be it, since it's your first for a major production and your first lead role in a feature film, like
feature,
you said.
Yes.
Yeah, it may lead to other leads in other feature films. I hope it does. That's
Me
usually
too.
How it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to start
yeah.
somewhere. So is there anything else that you want to say about batshit? And I'm not saying that, you know, one way or the other. If you want to, that's great with me. If you don't want to say anything else about batshit, that's fine too.
Sure, absolutely. I like to compare batshit with three previous films. The first one being It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. The second mm-hmm. would be the thriller Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. And the third would be to Scary Movie.
Oh, I love all of those movies.
Now, the reason why I compare batshit with Sweet Charlotte is because one of the elements in the Sweet Charlotte film is somebody who forces a person to take drugs and tell them they're seeing and hearing things and do everything possible to drive them crazy, and that's sort of what happens in batshit. I'm sorry for spoiling everything.
Well, it's kind of intimated even from the description on IMDb. So I don't think you ruined it for anybody, because I'm sure there's more to it than that.
Yeah, there is definitely more to it, and I don't want to, say too much about it. I don't want to go into all the specifics about the plot, but I will tell you this much. Everybody is anxious for batshit to come out. And that's probably the most highly anticipated film in the Pittsburgh indie scene. We're all anxious to see it. And they're hoping for a premiere date to be sometime next month. Sometime next month or during the beginning of November.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be nice if it does get that. And then, granted, I can't go to see it, but once it gets that, and then maybe it can get distributed, and I know that it's way early to start talking about that, but, it might happen, and I really hope
it
does.
We're definitely looking into all the options possible to give it as much promotion as possible and to seek distribution deals. We want this to go as far as possible, no doubt about that. And we won't rest until we get what we want.
And I hope that, all of the people involved in it, I hope you get everything that you want out of the film, because it really sounds like a worthwhile project to me, because when Todd was first talking about it, I thought, wow, that really sounds like it's going to be a big deal. And I think it is. I think it's going to be a big deal.
I think everybody agrees that it will definitely be a big deal. And I always like to tell Todd that I can't thank him enough for giving me a chance to be a lead in a feature, because he was the first to provide that opportunity. And so hopefully once other people see it, then maybe other people will follow his lead and, try to come up with some lead roles for me to play. Because I have to be honest with you, I don't get too many chances to actually be a lead. Being a character actor is what I have more experience with, and sometimes that gets a little bit, monotonous.
Yeah, I can understand that, because from what some of my family members have said, it gets monotonous, and it's mainly because you're basically playing the same role every time. At least that's what they said. So I don't know if that's how you feel, but I do know people
that feeling
feel
comes
that
occasionally.
Way. Well,
but,
yeah, it's not
but
all
I,
the time, because you are working, yes. I'm sorry, go
right.
ahead.
Right, and I was just going to tell you one thing about Todd that's very impressive. I don't know if anybody else has ever pointed that out, but Todd has the ability to see qualities in people that they don't even see in themselves, and he knows talent when he sees it, and he always tries hard to allow as many people as possible to and to have have an equal role in the spotlight. So I believe that he probably could see that I was able to play a lead, but never really had the chance. So that's why he decided to let me have the opportunity. So, and for that, I'll always be grateful. And I've told him how grateful I am about that many, many times, that he probably gets sick and tired of hearing it sometimes.
I don't think people really get sick of hearing that people are grateful about stuff. The only thing that I would say is that they might feel a little embarrassed from hearing it more than a couple of times, but I don't think that they get sick of it. But that's just my thinking. As somebody who's been thanked for different things, because I'm in no way saying that I'm some big deal. I'm not. And just because I have family in the business doesn't mean I'm anybody. I'm a nobody. However, I do give people different things, like I make introductions to people. I've gotten people to work together that they didn't even know the person, but I introduced them, and then they ended up making a film together, and they'll come and thank me over and over and over again. So that's the only reason why I brought it up, is I kind of understand that, because being thanked over and over and over, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't really need to be thanked over and over and over, but I see where they're coming from as well, because the one specific person I'm thinking about, he was just like in awe because he got to work with somebody who was in Star Trek. And so he was really excited about that. So I got thanked over and over and over about that. And it's nice, though, to be thanked.
Cool.
So I understand is my point. So we're all going to go batshit for batshit when it comes out, hopefully next month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I actually had the chance to tell a much bigger celebrity about batshit and some of the other work that I've done too. Are you familiar with an actress by the name of Rachel True?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I don't
she was in the movie The Craft and several other mm-hmm. things. Well, The Craft is what will stand out for me. I got a chance to actually meet her at the Steel City Comic Con back in December of 2019, and we talked and got acquainted. She asked me what I do, and I told her that I do independent film work part time, and then she asked me, what are some of the projects that you've done? And I told her the titles of some of the films, and Batshit was one of them. And so she said that she'd check them out. So,
aw, that's nice. Yeah, she, like I said, I don't know her personally, but from what I've seen when she does interviews and stuff, she's a nice person, and I like her work.
Yeah, she's very warm and very friendly and laid back.
Yeah, that's the kind of vibe that I've gotten from the things that I see and hear about her. So, well, that's nice. And that's something really to help you get a feeling like, oh, well, now maybe somebody will watch my stuff and somebody, and not that people don't watch your stuff. It's coming out wrong, what I'm trying to say.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, your feeling of that somebody who has been through what you've been through, because she didn't start at the top, and
exactly.
She's not actually at the she's not even actually at the top per se, but I still say at the top because she's famous. People all over the world.
Yeah, she's recognized.
Know her. Yeah, she's very highly recognized. So I consider that the top. That's how you can tell I'm not a go Hollywood person, because they wouldn't be saying that. But she's on the top as far as I'm concerned, and she would take the time to even tell you that. Oh, well, I'll check that out. Because you know, why? Why would she do that unless she really wanted to check them out? Because otherwise she could just not say anything and say, oh, okay, well, that's interesting, and then go about her business. So I love when famous people are nice, and there are a lot of them, more than
people. Oh, yeah, many, many of them.
It's just that what a lot of people don't understand, obviously, is that you get inundated by fans, and it's not
exactly
that you don't like your it's not that you don't like your fans, but sometimes they can drive you crazy, and and they start to expect things from you. I have a writer friend who's in, he's a famous writer, and he does book signings and stuff, and he said that one time he had this guy come in that brought in used books. Now, mind you, it's a book signing at a bookstore, which is to sell books. That's the purpose of the book signing. This guy came
exactly.
in. Right. This guy came in with a box of books that he brought from home and demanded that my friend sign them. And then when my friend refused to do that, then he started bad-mouthing him all over social media. And so, of course, that became a big – yeah, that became a big deal, and I got in on that, you know, talking the guy down, because, first of all, you buy his book. That's the point. If you want him to sign it, buy the book.
You're supposed to buy the book that he wrote.
Exactly. Buy his book and he'll sign it. And then here's the thing, because he's really a nice guy. He's like a really, really nice guy. But his the way that he presents is that he's this curmudgeonly old guy. And that's really not the way he is, but that's the way that he presents. And so some people, you know, but it's from coming across people like that all the time. And so
right.
he even said that if the guy had just taken out one book that was old that he didn't buy and said, would you mind signing this? I brought it from home. He would have signed it.
Right.
But
exactly.
the guy wanted him to sign the whole thing. And then one other thing I want to say shortly, because we've got like 7 minutes left. I have another friend. Well, actually, I don't, because she's gone now. But a friend from Star Trek.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She was in one episode of Star Trek. But people loved her in that role. So she became like a big thing in Star Trek, even though she was just in one episode. And that happens a lot in Star Trek. But she did other stuff. She did a movie with Elvis Presley. So it's not like she didn't do other stuff. But she once told me, and we became really, really good friends, and she once told me that somebody demanded, and that's another thing, you don't demand from people. They demanded that she send them autographed photos free of charge.
What?
And, yeah, demanded. And like she said, that's part of the way that she – well, at the time, she said, that's the way I make my money. But that was the way that she made her money, partially, was selling autographed photos. So you would buy the photos, and then she sent them all over the world. And so she would sell them for a certain amount, and it would include postage and handling. But this person wanted it sent, you know, just for free with her paying the postage. And she's like, why would I do that? And the way that I look at it, any quote-unquote fan who asks somebody to do that is not a real fan anyway.
Exactly.
Because you obviously don't like the person or you wouldn't be doing that, especially if you know that's the way they make their money. They're going to these things to sell whatever it is that they're selling, and for her it was photos. Well, plus a book, because she wrote this little nice little book. Yeah, she wrote this nice little book about the Star Trek experience, and her husband, who is he's still living, but her husband is an artist, and so he had done a few paintings of her, and they're included in that book. So that's one of the other things that she sells, but or sold. But yeah, so it's like I know how crazy people can get, and sorry to go off on that on your show.
Hey, sorry, but I just thought of something. Yeah, I was just gonna let you know that you know the stories that you were talking about how to conduct yourself whenever you're around famous people, that made me think of a few things that I'd like to share based on my experience. You know, this is, I have a message for different filmmakers who are in Pittsburgh, especially the ones that are, you know, like, you know, very small and independent. If you have a dream about, you know, like attaching your name to a name to one of your projects, you know, like somebody who's worked in New York or LA, somebody who's, you know, like known nationally, and you know, and they come to town, like for example, like many of them will come to the Steel City Comic Convention. Don't be afraid to approach them. And if you want to tell them that you would like to attach their name to any of works that they have in like pre-production or even before pre-production, you know, they will listen to you. Many of them will listen to you. But the thing is, if you want to, you know, get their information, you never ask for their personal contact information. Always ask for representative info, like the name of their agent or an agency or the name of their manager or management company. Ask for that information. If they give you their personal contact information, be happy and grateful, but never ask for that.
Right.
And they'll be more than happy to provide you, you know, their representative info. If you say to them, you know, I think that you'd be perfect for this role, you know, don't say, how can we get in contact with you? Because they might take it personally. But, you know, if, you know, once you explain yourself to them, and I think the best question would be to say to them, you know, once I have a production plan all laid out, who can I contact? That would be the better question.
Yes. Yeah, that's perfect, because it's one thing that if they offer it to you, but to expect it is totally wrong.
Right. Yeah, never expect anything like that.
Right. And then when you do get it, like you said, be ecstatic over it and grateful and thankful and make sure that you thank them. And
yes. And it's probably a good idea to keep it a secret from any family and friends too.
Right, right. Well, and that's one of the reasons why sometimes I'll mention names, but very rarely. But that's why most of the time when I'm talking about people, even ones that have been on the show, I actually won't say their name, because I figure, well, if you saw the show, you know who I'm talking about. But because I just don't do that. I don't need to do that. I don't need to be recognized for knowing somebody else. Got an uncle that's known throughout the world, and he's like a really big deal, but I never say his name. The only people that know who he is are people that really know me really well, and so occasionally they'll ask me about him, but they don't come to me and ask me stuff because they already know. I'm not going to tell them anything. I don't need to prove anything to anybody. I don't need to tell you anything about him or anybody else that I know. Like, say, for instance, yes. Say, for instance, your phone number. Nobody's ever going to get this phone number from me, ever, because I don't do that. I'm a radio show host. I'm not going to be handing out phone numbers to people. And I'm sorry about this, but we're down to like 45 seconds. So I did want to make sure that in those last 45 seconds, whatever it is that you want to say, get across to people, you have a chance to say it. So go.
Okay. I can't really think of anything in particular right now, except you know, be on the lookout for Batshit. I'm currently getting started on a few other films that, you know, sometime in the near future. Not as much work as I want to, but I'm still hanging in there, and I'll be also doing something not just for in a few months from now, but I'll be doing some more work next year too. So, you know, be on the lookout. I'll be adding some more credits to my belt as time progresses, and hopefully can't think of any of the right words. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay. And because the time actually ran out, Blog Talk Radio will cut you off without even, warning. But I just want to make sure that I tell people, hopefully this won't get cut off. I'm just going to go ahead and spell the name for everybody so they can look you up on Facebook or whatever, look you up. P as
sure.
in Paul, I-E, T
correct.
As in Tom. R-A-L-A, first name Jerry. Look him up. He's a great actor. If you want him in your production, find a way to get a hold of him and let him know. So, Jerry, thank you for being on the show. And have a good, I was going to say night, because usually I have the show at night. Have a good afternoon. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And thank you for allowing me to be a guest on your show. It was a true honor.
Thank you. And I feel exactly the same. Okay, I have to hang up now before we get cut off. Goodbye.
That's okay. Bye-bye.